The New York City Marathon began in 1970 with just 127 participants. In 2 weeks, more than 50,000 runners will take to the starting line for the 42nd running of the event. Last year, a record 510,000 Americans completed marathons. But for some, running 26.2 miles just doesn't offer enough of a challenge. For those, there is adventure racing. Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
One, two.
On a hot and sunny Saturday morning in late August, the Amesbury Sports Park, a little less than an hour north of Boston, has been transformed into ancient Sparta, or sort of a modern ancient Sparta. A shirtless guy in a red floor-length cape and plumed helmet is running microphone checks, while an equally shirtless but helmetless guy is doing push-ups and waiting for his turn to race.
Name's Mike Pye. I'm a Spartan warrior.
You are already a Spartan warrior.
I appreciate that, but I gotta earn that first.
Mike is about to set out on his first Spartan sprint. At just 5K, or 3.1 miles, the sprint is the shortest of the Spartan races, but don't let the distance fool you. While a slow runner can finish a 5K in a half hour, it will take twice as long for most participants to finish this obstacle-filled run up and down the side of a mountain.
Spartans, on this rugged patch of earth, we stand to fight. There is no retreat, no surrender. That is Spartan law.
If those words are familiar, it's probably because Gerard Butler delivered them in the movie 300. And yes, both speeches end with the foreboding words, "For tonight we dine in hell." In 2005, Joe DeSena founded the Spartan Death Race, a 48-hour obstacle course which quickly evolved into a series of shorter events held all over the United States and Canada. This morning, DeSena led a group of 250 through this course, adding extra challenges at every obstacle and stretching the 3-mile race to more than 2 hours. Now, he's eating a banana and philosophizing on why people pay good money to be tortured by increasingly tougher physical tasks.
This is going to sound crazy, but for 900,000 plus years, humans jumped, crawled, swam, climbed. This is what we're wired to do. We're animals. We forgot that we're animals. I'm just allowing animals to play the way they like to play.
Every 30 minutes, Spartans are sent charging up the hill through a dense cloud of stage smoke. The course twists and turns on dirt paths littered with rocks and tree roots. There are walls to climb over, under, and through, mud pits to navigate, and what might just be the longest barbed wire crawl in history, through mud, uphill, while being sprayed with a fire hose.
I'm leaving Sparta after this.
The more people complain, the wider DeSena smiles.
I've been next to Green Berets, Navy SEALs, and they've cursed at me and said they're currently in the military and they've never done anything quite like it. You're carrying weight, you're crawling through things, you're in the mud, you're throwing spears. I'm bringing back all those primal, innate instincts in a human being.
Throwing a spear at a target made of hay isn't as innate as DeSena might think. If a spear doesn't stick, and most of them don't, volunteers cheerfully watch as the racer performs 30 burpees, a full body exercise used by football coaches and military drill instructors when push-ups aren't considered punishment enough.
Oh, close.
I hit it. It didn't stick.
Okay, you only have to do 30.
30's not bad, though.
But I did 120 already.
Oh, my God.
Only 8 people showed up for DeSena's first event. More than 8,000 showed up for his 10th. It's an amazing rate of growth, and DeSena's Spartan Series isn't the only competitor in a crowded adventure race market.
I heard we had, you know, one of the Grey's Anatomy celebrities was apparently on site.
Amelia Richmond is the PR manager for Squaw Valley, USA in Northern California, where celebrities and non-celebrities alike climbed 3,500 feet of vertical and tackled 24 obstacles during a Tough Mudder event last month.
They erected basically a high dive. People had to jump off on into this very cold water. And then that was, you know, just kind of the tip of the iceberg. There were ice baths and log carries and electric shocker nodes.
Yes, you heard right. She said electric shocker nodes. Tough mudders must pass through 10,000 volts of electricity on their way to the finish line, where they receive a medal, but no official time. The tough mudder is considered an endurance event, not a race. Englishman Will Dean came up with the idea in 2008 while studying for his MBA at the Harvard Business School. He wrote up a business plan and showed it to a few professors. He says they all agreed it was a, quote, categorically stupid idea. He pulled together an $8,000 marketing budget and scheduled his first event for May of 2010 anyway. 5,000 participants signed up in just 5 weeks. Even Dean was amazed.
I would have never have guessed, and I don't think any Harvard Business School professors in our second year of operations would be doing 150,000 participants to our events and 25 million in revenues, or that we would have a million Facebook fans or 35 staff. So it's been a pretty insane first 2 years for us.
1,000 people have already had the Tough Mudder logo permanently tattooed on their bodies. And, like any good business school graduate, Dean has studied the trend behind his success.
You know, experiences are a luxury good, and they're a luxury good that are worth spending a lot of money on because, you know, unlike the latest iPhone, it's not going to be something that's out of date or useless a year or two from now.
Dean says people put the highest priority on experiences they can share with their friends. That's certainly something that's brought Cynthia August of Ipswich, Massachusetts, to adventure racing time and time again. She started doing mud runs and warrior dashes a few years ago after completing a cross-country 5K with a group of girlfriends.
So we all finished together. We're like, yeah, we're awesome. We're pumped. And then one of us said, triathlon? And we all looked at each other and went, yeah, you know, and then there was a pinky pact, and that was that.
Cynthia's in her 40s and says adventure racing is her midlife crisis. There have been moments when she thought she might die from exhaustion, but she says she never considered quitting.
It's about survival, and I think it goes back to that reaching a certain point in your life where you understand that you are in control of your own ability to survive things and make it through things, and to continually reaffirm that your own power of will is enough. Giving up has never really ever been on my mind, especially when I'm in a tutu. I mean, come on, who quits in a tutu?
Cynthia has run through apple orchards, scaled walls, and pulled mud from places she didn't even know existed. Still, she says, she's always looking for the next challenge.
Heck, there are people at the race before the race that are running around pressing pamphlets in your hand going, have you seen this one? How about this one? Hey, look at this one. This one has lobsters.
It leaves one to wonder, what's next? After defeating electric shocker nodes and football field lengths of barbed wire, where can athletes find a new challenge?
We came up with the name, and it was Run for Your Lives, and we said, well, what are people going to run from? And it just seemed zombies was the perfect fit.
Yep, you heard right again, zombies. Derek Smith is the co-founder of Run for Your Lives, a race debuting today in Darlington, Maryland, an hour north of Baltimore. The event generated enormous buzz, and volunteer zombie positions filled up even faster than the race itself. Smith says many of the nearly 10,000 registered runners are former couch potatoes who were inspired by the race's unusual theme. And he offers some sage advice.
Expect the unexpected, I suppose. You know, it's not just be physically fit, but you're also going to have to be mentally aware of which direction to go and what's going to be the most efficient way to get to the finish line.
Do you have any advice for the zombies?
Zombies? No. I have no insight to how a zombie's mind works, if it does work.
Like a lot of her friends, Cynthia August is ready to sign up.
You know, zombies are so trendy, but really cool in that it's basically a little bit like flag football in that everybody's got flags and they are your lives. And so if the zombies get your flags, then you're dead. And that's genius. That's just cool.
You're not dead. You're a zombie.
Oh, you're a zombie?
You finish as a zombie.
Oh, that's even better. God, that's good.
Soon, August won't have to fly to Baltimore to run from zombies. More than a month before today's inaugural race, Run for Your Lives announced a schedule that includes 7 more events across the country in 2012 in Boston, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, the Pacific Northwest, Southern California, and Austin, Texas. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Jillian Guybe. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen's Adventure Race photo gallery or Ann Marshall's pictures of announcer David Holton or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from adventure racers Jonathan Nilsson and Mike Ives, who are wearing the same thing and proud of it.
You know, one guy in a tuxedo t-shirt kind of looks like an idiot, but two guys, well,
that's brilliant.
All right, all you need now is some socks that look like spats, and you can spray paint on some garters. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day at wallacefoundation.org. And American Jewish World Service, supporting local solutions to global challenges at ajws.org. This is NPR.